has the greatest poverty of any country in the Western Hemisphere. You have to go to Africa to find any place that's more in need. We sent our first mission team down there this past August, and we're planning for the trip this coming August as well. If you're interested in that, you can get more information about that. We're really excited about the impact that we can make there. You saw some of the slides. The voodoo and Satan worship there is prevalent, but there is light shining into that country, and there's a lot of inroads being made by pastors who some of whom we're working with. Starting about the middle of this past May, I had a pretty incredible month. You know, it was, in addition to my normal workload at church, my son graduated from college, so we went to Indiana to do that for a couple days, and, I bought an old house, and I started renovating that. My daughter got married, and of course, I did the wedding, and then we had, about 15 relatives come into town for several days beforehand and stayed at our house. You know what that's like, and Kathy and I celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary, right in the middle of that sometime, I had a hip replacement. So I was in the hospital for several days and then recovering for a couple weeks. This was like the unbelievable month, and you ever have one of those months that just seem kind of overwhelming? Maybe you're in the middle of one right now. Or maybe even worse, where you just feel like, there is too much. I just cannot handle it all. I've got this problem or this challenge or this person, this opponent, or this situation I just cannot overcome. Ever felt like that? Could be a difficult schedule, or for you it might be an ongoing thing or a life issue, something like battling with your weight or battling with depression. Whatever it is, if you're facing something that you just feel like is just too much, seems too big for you, I have some really good news for you this morning. If you are a Christian, then this is true of you. Ready? With Christ, you are an overcomer. With Christ, you are an overcomer. Not you will be. Not that you can be if you try really, really hard and study the Bible. No, that's not what I'm saying. Positionally, with Christ, that is what you are already right now. A few weeks ago, I made a statement that you might remember. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Anybody remember that? When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Well, the Bible tells us who we are in Christ. And in Christ, you are an overcomer. Look at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. The Apostle Paul asks a question. He asks, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God is on your side, then who could possibly be powerful enough or strong enough to stop you from anything? And Paul answers his question by saying, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And then in verse 35, Paul asks another question. He asks this question and then lists seven different obstacles that all of us at one time or another will face. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ shall trouble or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. Those are seven things which, in one form or another, all of us will face at one or more times in our life. This is still true today, even 2,000 years after he asked this question. He starts with trouble or hardship. Shall trouble or hardship separate us from the love of Christ? Many of you right now are facing some kind of trouble or hardship. In this room, we have migraine headaches, we have challenging marriages, conflicts with your kids, we have jobs that you hate. We all have, at times, trouble or hardship. And then Paul says, what about persecution? This could be like the sixth grade girl who carries her Bible with her to school and the kids make fun of her. Or it could be the junior in college who's decided to stay a virgin until they're married and their friends don't understand and make fun of them. Or it could be the business person who you walk away from a business deal because you'd have to compromise your ethics, but then the rest of the people at work are mad at you because of it. Shall persecution separate you from the love of Christ? Paul goes on to say, how about famine, or nakedness. Now, probably none of you are that hungry this morning. You're not in a famine. And, you know, as far as I know, nobody here is naked. So, you know, we don't have to worry about those things directly. But what this is really talking about is talking about financial problems. You know, famine or nakedness, you know, if you don't have enough food or clothes, financial problems. And there are certainly those of us here who are dealing with those things. There's times when there's just too much month and not enough money. Maybe it's a constant battle for you and you're wondering, how am I ever going to get out of debt? How am I ever going to overcome this difficulty? Paul goes on to say, shall danger or sword? There are people worshiping in countries all around this world who they know that they are in constant danger simply because of their faith. Now here in the U.S., that doesn't usually apply to us, so danger or sword for you might apply to physical challenges or a disability or a doctor's report, physical hardships. And so Paul asks this question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And he answers in verse 37, he says, no, no way, not going to happen, never will happen, no. And then he goes on, in all these things we are, now remember, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do, right? So who are you in Christ? In all these things we are who? Okay, so, you know, some of you actually got that a little bit. You know, unfortunately, most of you, you said we're more than conquerors, but you sounded like we're pathetic wimps. Okay, so I'm going to give you another chance. In Christ, we are who? We are? All right, we are more than conquerors. Not in our own power, but in whose power? In Christ, absolutely, in Christ who loved us. It's not our own strength, it's not our own power, but through the power of the risen Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, then you are more than a conqueror. You are more than an overcomer. In fact, the Greek word that's translated there as conqueror is the word nikeo, and that word means to win or to be victorious. But you know what? That is not actually the word that's used in this scripture. The word used here is hupernikeo. Huper basically means hyper, like hyperspeed. This is like exceedingly more than. Paul is saying you are way more than a winner. You are hupernikeo, hyper winners, more than conquerors. In fact, the definition of hupernikeo is actually to vanquish beyond recognition. I mean, that is powerful. It means to gain a decisive victory, not just conquering, but more than a conqueror, demolishing the opposition. And that means that in Christ, you are hupernikeo. You are not going to just eke out a little victory, just barely winning. No, you are going to demolish the opposition. We are not talking about like Rocky Balboa when he's fighting Apollo Creed. Anybody remember that movie? You know, it's been a while now, but a great movie. But, you know, Rocky hangs in there for 9 rounds, and he is just getting the snot beat out of him. You know, he's going around the ring, and he's like, you know, and he's just getting pounded on for 9 rings. And he comes back in the corner, and they say, what are you doing? Why are you letting him hit you like that? And he says, well, you know, that's my strategy. I'm wearing him out, you know. And you know, he's just getting demolished for 9 rounds. But then, of course, somehow at the end, he comes back, knocks the guy out, and wins, right? But his face is destroyed. His eyes are puffy. You know, he's got brain damage. That's why he says, yo, Adrian, you know. you know. What's the point? That is not hupernikeo, okay? That is not more than a conqueror when you get chewed up and spit out by your enemy most of the time, but then at the end you come back and somehow win the victory. No, that is not you. That's not what this scripture is talking about. What this is talking about is God's kind of victory where he vanquishes beyond recognition. He demolishes the opposition. We're talking about the Egyptian army who is chasing the Israelites, and the God parts the Red Sea. The Israelites go through. The Egyptians follow them in there, and then it's like, poof, baby, and he washes them all away. They're demolished. You know, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about total victory, more than a conqueror. We're talking about Gideon when God says, you know, I want you to fight the Midianites. And Gideon says, you know, I only got a few thousand guys. I'm too weak. I'm too small. Yeah, I can't do it. They got 1 million guys. No way. I can't. And God says, you know, you are a mighty man of valor. You are a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You may not see it yet. You may not believe it about yourself yet, but that is what you are. And so get out there and fight, because it's my power that's going to win the battle. It's not your power. And so then God uses Gideon and 300 guys to demolish the enemy. That is hupernikeo. That is who you are in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than victorious. Now, what I'm not saying is that you will never have problems or difficulties. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16, in this world, you will have trouble. You see, here's the deal. In order for you to be an overcomer, there has to be something for you to overcome. Have you ever thought about that? You know, it's like a really difficult concept, I know, but in order for you to be an overcomer, there's got to be something for you to overcome. And so Jesus says, you will have trouble, guarantee it, it's going to happen, but take heart, for I have what? Overcome. There's that word. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus is the original overcomer. And now, in Christ, you and I are exactly like him. That's exactly what we are. There's a story about an old dog from a farm that fell into a dried up well. And the farmer saw it and he realized this well was so deep and narrow, there was no way he was getting this dog out. And he felt really sorry for the dog, but he decided, you know, he's an old dog anyway. The best thing probably is just to put him out of his misery and bury him there and fill the well so nothing else can fall in. So he grabbed his shovel and he started shoveling dirt into the well and thought it'd only be a couple minutes until the dog was buried. But then he saw something he couldn't believe. Every time a load of dirt would hit that dog in the back, it would shake it off and step up. Another load of dirt, shake it off and step up. Shake it off and step up. And every time it stepped up, it got a little bit higher. And pretty soon, that dog was able to climb right out of that well. Now, what's the point? What's the moral? What seems like will bury you can actually bless you. What seems like will bury you can actually bless you. When bad stuff comes your way, with the help of Christ, you shake it off and step up. Because what seems like will bury you can actually bless you. You say, well, Ken, I'm just an ordinary Christian. There is no such thing. If you are truly a follower of Christ, then you are a spirit-filled overcomer. That's what God says, not what I say. Revelation chapter 12 talks about how believers overcome the forces of darkness. He says, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Now, some of you are asking, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb? What is that? You know, that sounds kind of gross, you know, at least if you don't understand it. The Lamb of God was Jesus, and he shed his blood on the cross, and through the power of his blood, Scripture says, our sins are forgiven. Through the power of the blood, Scripture says, we have access to the very throne room of God. Through the power of the blood, Scripture says, we are redeemed from this empty way of life. Through the power of the blood, we are overcomers. You are also an overcomer by the word of your testimony. What's that? Your testimony is your story of who God is and what he has done in your life. One day, a young teenager named David, who'd been watching sheep, walks up to King Saul and says, I'll fight Goliath. Goliath looks at him and says, why don't you go home and play with your sheep? You know, he doesn't look like an overcomer. He doesn't look like a guy who can fight a giant. And David said, you don't understand. Listen to my testimony. Whenever a lion attacked my sheep, God overcame and delivered the lion into my hands, and I killed him. Whenever a bear attacked my sheep, God delivered that bear into my hands, and I attacked and killed him. And the same God who delivered the lion and the bear into my hands is going to deliver that giant Philistine into my hands. You all think he's too big to beat. I think he's too big to miss. So just give me a stone and get out of my way, because I am a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. That was David's testimony. This morning, I'm here to say to you that that is what you are, an overcomer. By the blood of the Lamb, not by your own strength, and by the word of your testimony. Now, I know exactly what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, yeah, Ken, you know, that sounds really great. You know, once I, you know, get my life together and I start doing this or stop doing that, you know, then maybe I could be an overcomer too. That would be great. If you think that, you have totally missed the point of everything I've said so far. If that were true, then it would be based on our power, and we would all be in big trouble, believe me. What the Bible tells us is that positionally, right now, you are an overcomer. Not you will be, you are, you already are. And what you need to do is simply start acting like what you already are. In fact, let me add this. There is a giant somewhere in your life that no one else thinks that you can beat. In fact, maybe you don't even think so yourself. You think, you know, I just can't do it. I can't overcome whatever it is. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. You can do that with the power of the risen Christ. But you need to start believing who God says you are. You are hupernikeo. You are more than a conqueror. You're more than an overcomer. And so, for all of you overcomers out there, let me encourage you to fight in two ways. Number one, you will fight with a conquering attitude. I love the quote from Martin Luther King Jr. He says, "Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. There was no one there." Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. There was no one there. When problems knock on your door, how do you answer? In faith? Or do you just welcome that fear right on in? Tragically, too many Christians have a faithless, wishy-washy mindset, and they lose the battle in their minds before they ever even fight it in the world. However, as an overcomer, you will not do that. You will stand strong knowing who you are, knowing what God says about you, that positionally, as a follower of Christ, you are an overcomer. You see, faith-filled attitudes lead to faith-filled actions. Godly beliefs lead to godly behavior. The battle starts in your mind with knowing who you are. And because you now know who you are, you will never go around with the attitude, "Well, I'm just a victim. You know, everybody else gets the breaks. Yeah, nothing ever goes right for me. Our marriage is just pathetic. It's always going to be that way. He's always going to be a jerk. She's never going to change. Or, you know, I'll never get married. Another Valentine's Day coming up. Oh, yeah, I can't stand Single Awareness Day. Every year it comes and goes. You know, I'm always going to be overweight. I'm never going to be able to overcome this addiction. And I'll never be able to forgive." You know what that is? That is victim talk. And if you're a Christian, you are not a victim. You're a victor. You are not a victim. So you shouldn't be talking that negative, defeated mindset. In Christ, you are hupernikeo. You vanquish beyond all recognition. You demolish the opposition. You're an overcomer. So what do you do when those negative thoughts start to come in? 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, it says, we demolish. I love that word demolish. You know, there's another version that says cast down. Forget that one. I like demolish. You know, demolish is a cool word. And this says we get to demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then what do? Scripture says we take captive every thought. And what do we do with that thought when we take it captive? It says we make it obedient to Christ. Now, what does that look like? Whenever your mind says, "I can't do it," you immediately take that thought captive. You say, "No, that is not true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Whenever your mind says, well, you know, this is just an impossible situation, we immediately take that thought captive and we say, no, that is not true. All things are possible through Christ. Whenever your mind says, well, I just don't have faith, you know, we immediately take that thought captive. We say, no, that is not true. Scripture says, if I have a faith of a mustard seed, then I could say this mountain, be moved, and it'll be cast into the sea. So you take captive every thought that is not in line with God's word, and you make it obedient to Christ. Therefore, because I'm an overcomer, I am not going to let what anybody said about me or what anybody thinks about me or what anybody did to me, I'm not going to let any of that stop me from doing what God calls me to do, because I am an overcomer, not of my own strength, but by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. So first, you fight with a conquering attitude. Second, as an overcomer, you fight with supernatural weapons. You're not limited to the weapons of this world. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have what? They have divine power to do what? Demolish, my favorite word, to demolish strongholds. Our weapons have the divine power of God to demolish strongholds. If you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And if you're a Christian, then you need to know who you are and the weapons that you have to fight with. You fight with supernatural weapons. According to Ephesians chapter 6, you have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, belt of truth, shoes of the gospel of peace, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, why do you have those spiritual weapons? Because God wants you to know that you are not a wimp. You are a warrior. You are more than a conqueror. Anybody here ever seen the movie Princess Bride? I personally think it's one of the best movies ever made. Let's watch a clip from it.
I will go up to the six-fingered man and say, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Hello. My name is Diego Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Hello!
My name is Diego Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Stop saying that! Hello! My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die!
Now! Offer me money.
Yes.
Power to promise me that.
All that I have and more. Please.
Offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
I want my father.
We have to stop it there because he calls him a bad word. Now, why did I show that? It's because that is what we do. You take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and when your enemy comes, you say, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, and then you pretend you're like Inigo Montoya. How do you pretend that? You say, you killed my father, except you change a little. Instead, you say to the enemy, you killed Jesus, but he came back to life, and he gave me new life, and because I am an overcomer, prepare to die. Now, that may sound kind of goofy, but you'll remember that now, won't you? You'll remember, I'm Inigo Montoya, prepare to die. And you'll remember that your spiritual weapons are more powerful than the enemy. Satan is no match for us. Listen to William Gournau, what he says about our enemy. He's one of the greatest Puritan authors. He said, "When God says stay, Satan must stand like a dog by the table while the saints, which is you and me, feast on God's comfort. He does not dare to snatch even a tidbit, for the master's eye is always upon him. And so it is, our master's eye is ever upon him. After his first act of disobedience, his failure and doom were sealed." That is why you're an overcomer, because it is not based on what you've done. It's based on what God already did. He has defeated the enemy, and now he never takes his eye off the enemy. Now again, that doesn't mean that we never have any problems, we never have any difficulties or challenges, because obviously we do. And obviously, we blow it at times, and we sin, and we act out of fear and not out of faith at times. We do all those things. And there's a reason behind that. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. "We have this treasure." Now, what's the treasure? It's Christ, okay? "We have this treasure." Where? "In jars of clay." What's he talking about there? What's a jar of clay? He's talking about our physical bodies. He says, we are like jars of clay. Now notice, he doesn't say jars of gold or jars of anything really precious. No, jars of clay, because we are far from perfect. "We have this treasure in jars of clay." Why? "To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Jars of clay don't have power by themselves. They're worth not a whole lot. But we have God's power in us. We just have to remember it's from him, not from us. And then he goes on, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not what? Not crushed." Recognize this scripture from anywhere? We just sang this in our last song today, "I'm Trading My Sorrows." "We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. And we are struck down, but not destroyed." Why? Because we are overcomers. That's what we are. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we have that power of Christ in jars of clay. And that means that you can overcome your unforgiveness through the power of Christ. That means that you can overcome your weight problem through the power of Christ. That means you can overcome your addiction through the power of Christ. You can overcome that betrayal and that hurt. You can have a good marriage again through the power of Christ. You can overcome your dead-end job. You can overcome your financial problems, your moral mistake. You can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. No more victim, no more I can't, no more I'm not good enough, no more. You are not a victim, you are a victor in Christ. You are more than a conqueror, and when you know who you are, you know what to do. You are more than a conqueror in the power of Christ. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like our worship band to come up for a closing song. Heavenly Father, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit would plant this truth deep within our hearts and lives, who we really are in Christ. God, we confess right at this moment that many of us have things in our lives that seem like unbeatable giants. Maybe it's an addiction or a relationship, a challenge or a problem, but it just seems overwhelming, seems like too much. God, I pray that today, in faith, you would conquer those giants in our lives that oppose us. I pray, God, that we would fight with faith-filled attitudes, conquering attitudes, that we would understand and fight with the powerful spiritual weapons available to us through the risen Christ. And God, I pray that we would be able to see and act like who we are in Christ, empowered by faith, directed by your Spirit, not victims but victors, filled with your strength. God, by the power of the risen Christ, would you give us victory over all that opposes us? And when you do, God, that you would get all the credit and all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.